بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد so mashallah this is the third night that we're going through the blessed and most illustrious life of Abu Darda radiallahu so today we're going to go through a section with regards to his eagerness to please the almighty and glorious subhanahu wa ta'ala for some important supplications which have reached us from his most blessed month. Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu anhu was ever eager to fulfill the blessed commands of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So an example of this can be seen quite vividly from the following blessed narration. In Ibn Kathir's Tafsir 4-308, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu relates, when Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, he heard for the very first time the revelation of this Quranic verse, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem, Surah 57 verse 11, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem, who will give a generous loan to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he subhanahu wa ta'ala will then pay him by twofold and he shall receive a rich reward. So the first time he heard this, he immediately asked the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want a loan from us? And the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied in the affirmative. Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu anhu then took him by his holy hand and he said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I hereby loan my orchard to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't forget, he was a businessman, so he was very wealthy. Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu anhu's orchard was a sizable one with 600 date palms. And at the time, he radiallahu anhu donated it to the cause of Islam. His wife, Darda radiallahu anha, was staying in it with her children. Nevertheless, having made his pledge to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Darda radiallahu anhu came to the orchard, called his wife and told her that she would now have to leave as it has been given as a loan to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how did the wife react? Hazrat Darda radiallahu anha's reaction was, you have made a good bargain. That is, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you many times over in the hereafter. Thus, with this saying, she left the orchard with her children, taking with her all her bags and possessions. So obviously, in today's day and age, if the husband gives us even a small contribution, you can imagine how the wife will react. He wants to give that much. Did your friends give this much? And all the other lines are pouring out. How many would react the way Darda did radiallahu anhu? In Ibn Abi Hatim, Qurtubi in his Tafsir, Ma'arif al-Qur'an, volume 1, page 625, of the English translation, in another narration, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remarked, how many trees, luxuriant and laden with fruit, Abu Darda radiallahu anhu will have in paradise. Don't forget, 600 trees. And if you times that by, I don't know what this situation is, but and they're not normal trees in paradise, and the Prophet has some service, because you don't realize what a great amount he's got in turn for this. So again, what you learn is when he heard a divine command, he did not hesitate. He wanted the understanding of the command. He said, maybe I've misunderstood the command. So he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, does this mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants a loan? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes. In other words, what you give, it's not even giving. He'll give you back, manifold. And then straight away, he donated the most precious thing to him, or one of the most precious things to him. And also, there's a very similar verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, you will never attain piety until you give of what you love. But that's with regards to Abu Talha radiallahu anhu. So look, not to be confused with this, that's in Bukhari, the hadith. Where Abu Talha radiallahu anhu came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he asked the same question. He goes, does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want us to give, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes, yes. And he gave another orchard. We are giving all this for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And later on, Amir Mu'awiyah radiallahu anhu bought that orchard for millions of dinars, for dirhams. So the Sahaba, they were very quick to react when they came with the holy verses.
So in fact, you
given
and you're expecting
payment on the day of judgment. That's right, that's right. So you're not really giving. There's a hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in Bayhaqi that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, words to the effect, he goes, give your treasures to me where they will not be stolen, lost, and you will most definitely receive it when you need it the most. So it's like the bank of the akhirat. So again, in continuation, a few more blessed and more important supplications have also reached us from this most blessed man. In Abu Dawud is Hassan, number 5063, Ibn Yassin, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 3. Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu anhu relates, if anyone recites 7 times morning and evening, فَإِن تَوَلَّوْا فَقُلْ حَسْبِيَ اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَهُوَ رَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْعَظِيمِ. حَسْبِيَ اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَهُوَ رَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْعَظِيمِ 7 times. Then Allah the Almighty will be sufficient for him against anything which grieves him, whether he is true or false in uttering these words. So this last bit is very interesting. A lot of the vehicles, a lot of people are worried, obviously, rightly so, but well, I'm saying it, but will I get the benefits because my iman's weak and I'm uttering it like a tape recorder sometimes. But Abu Darda radiallahu anhu said, if you even are not true in uttering this, in other words, you go to one of those modes where I've been saying it and just rattling it out, it still will benefit you and will protect you from everything. So where is this verse? It's the last verse of Surah Tawbah. Surah 9, verse 129. It's only a part of that verse. You can recite the whole verse, but it's better to stick to what the Sahaba told us. An essential supplication for the general mass of the believers, for how many of us are sincere in our du'as. Abu Darda radiallahu anhu's tawakkul, his trust in the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was so great that the following amazing report has reached us. In Tabarani, Imam Ghazali's Ihya, in his book on invocations and supplications, chapter 3, al-Fiqh al-Sunnah, volume 4, page 119, it has been reported. Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu anhu was once told, your house has caught fire. For a fire had already broken out in that very quarter where he lived. He calmly and simply said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would never allow this to happen. He was told 3 times, because your house is going to catch fire. He gave the same remark quietly. Then someone came to Abu Darda radiallahu anhu some time later and said, oh Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, the fire miraculously went out when it came near your dwelling. So the people then looked at Abu Darda in amazement, how did he have this confidence? So Abu Darda radiallahu anhu replied calmly, I already knew that this was going to happen. He was then told by the astonished onlookers, we do not know which of your 2 statements was more astonishing. The first one is, look, nothing will happen, or the statement you've made now, I already knew it. He then replied to inform them, because I have heard Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, if anyone says these words in the daytime or at night, nothing will hurt him. So I recited them ever since I was told this. I've never given those words up, and the words are translated. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are my Lord. There is no God but you. In you we trust. You are the Lord of the glorious throne. There is no might and no power save in you, the exalted, the magnificent. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills is, and what He subhanahu wa ta'ala does not will, does not exist. I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is powerful over all things and comprehends everything in knowledge and counts everything in His number. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, verily I take refuge in you from the evil of my soul and from the evil of my breast, whose forelock, of the evil of every beast, whose forelock you want. And then he recited Surah 11 verse 56 of the Bilal Nishad al-Rajim, verily my Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala is on a straight path. So again, what you learn is this very fascinating du'as on the authority of Abu Darda radiallahu, the previous one, because if you say insincerely, Allah ta'ala will help you. And this one, again, protection. And note how he's learning the du'as that have give you the same benefits. The previous du'as for protection. And he's learned another du'a for protection as well. Teaching is that there's no such thing as learning through many of these sacred du'as. So any questions on that with regards to the zikrs that we've learned from the blessed self, radiallahu? Moving on from there, Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, the ascetic, as mentioned earlier, Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu anhu did not only become less involved in trade, but he radiallahu anhu had now also abandoned his hitherto soft and luxurious lifestyle. He now only ate what was sufficient to keep him upright, and he wore clothes that were simple and sufficient merely to cover his noble body. So he changed his lifestyle drastically. He was a rich man, a very, very wealthy man, and he enjoyed his food and drink and clothing. But now for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's giving all these things up. His poverty reached such a state that the following blessed narration has reached us. In Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 2, page 494, and Abu Nu'aym al-Hilya, Hazrat Sharih ibn Ubaid radiallahu relates, someone once told Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu, and those poor Muslims who were sitting with him, or Qaris, or group of reciters, you indeed are more cowardly than us. In addition, when you are asked for something, you take to miserliness, and when you are invited to dine, you pick up big morsels. Have you no shame? So they were saying this to Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, munafiqs. Because when you are invited, you eat to your fill, but you never invite. And you are cowards. And all you do is recite. Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu anhu merely turned his face away from him and gave him no reply. However, the news of this incident reached Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was furious and went in search of Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. When he found him, he said, "Oh Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, is this true? What I've heard that took place between you and so and so." Abu Darda did not answer him. He just prayed, "Forgive us, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Verily we do what we have heard from him." In other words, what he said is true. He might have said it with spite, but it's true. But when we get invited, we eat to our fill, but we can't invite because we're so poor. And also, we recite a lot. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, when he got confirmation, he rushed and went to that very person who had told Abu Darda those wretched words, radiallahu anhu. He then grabbed him by his neck and pulled him back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The person then was trying to apologize, and he said, "I have said those words to Abu Darda and his companions. I was only joking. I didn't mean those words." As soon as he said that in front of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah the Almighty Glorious revealed the following several verses. Surah Tawbah, verse 65. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. If you, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, question them, they declare with emphasis, "We were only talking idly and in joke." So what does this mean? Subhanallah, for Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reveal sacred verses to protect the honor of any individual shows just how highly ranked these individuals are in the house of Islam. Like Hazrat Aisha said, radiallahu anha, I did not consider myself worthy for revelation when the incident of Ifk took place in Sahih Bukhari. She was, "I thought maybe the Prophet would have a dream sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." But the Sahaba was so beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he was constantly revealing verses. And what's interesting about the verses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed for the Sahaba is that you could generalize them. So even though it was revealed for Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, the scholars have said this also applies to those who do the same. So it's a specific verse with regards to the Asbab al-Nusul, but it's general in its application. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam already had a deep love for his noble friend radiallahu anhu, but after this event, the esteem he had for his noble and beloved friend increased manifold. Whenever Allah the Almighty would reveal verses, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would hold that companion with great honor, even though he held him in honor before. So examples of this. Zayd ibn Arqam radiallahu anhu, when he confirmed, when he said he was only a young boy at the time, he was a messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "I've heard Abdullah ibn Ubay say that when we get to Medina, the honorable ones would drive out the mean ones. I heard him say that." So to cut a long narration short, the munafiq starts swearing because we never said anything of such, or messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So then so the Sahaba even thought, he's only a young boy, maybe he misheard. So then Zayd was thinking, he goes, "Oh Lord," he goes, "people are thinking this of me now." Allah the Almighty reveals Surah Munafiqun. And then when the whole surah was revealed, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam affectionately got hold of the ear of Zayd ibn Arqam. He goes, "The Lord of the worlds has confirmed these 2 years." And then he held him with great honor and respect, even though he was a youngster at the time, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only reveals verses with regards to those purest of soul and character. And similarly, it is many examples of this, but Abu Darda is mentioned here radiallahu. And also Abdullah ibn Maktum radiallahu, when he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Tibnu bi Imam Malik's Muwatta." And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was addressing the Quraysh. And what happened was, he came, and because he's blind, he didn't know what the gathering was. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the full understanding of the Quran. He turned away momentarily from Abdullah ibn Maktum radiallahu, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Abbas wa ta'ala. He frowned and he turned away when they came to him, the blind man. And then after that incident, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam held him in great honor, even though he knew the respect of him before this. So there's many, many instances of the Quran when you read with regards to the companions of Allah. Now one would be excused to think after reading this narration that due to his poverty, Abu Darda radiallahu anhu could not really honor guests who would come to visit him. But this is a totally wrong understanding. In Imam Ahmad in Zuhd and Sifat al-Safwa volume 1 page 263, Hayat al-Sahaba volume 2 page 332 of the English translation, as Muhammad ibn Ta'ab radiallahu anhu relates, once some people stayed with Abu Darda radiallahu anhu during a winter's night. So this is probably during his governorship. He was made a governor or a teacher of a certain district. Abu Darda radiallahu anhu was the host. Thus he gave them some hot food, but he did not give them any blankets, anything to cover themselves, because it was a cold night. Just some base food. Thereupon one of the guests, he said, our host has sent food to us without any means to warm ourselves. In other words, this is a blemish of the host. Hence, in order to make him know their resentment, the man arrived at the door, and to his amazement, he found Abu Darda radiallahu anhu sitting inside with his wife in a single cloth, which was not worth mentioning. Embarrassed, the guests made a hasty retreat, because if they're sharing a quilt amongst themselves, how can we get a quilt? Thereupon, the guests arrived at the conclusion that the honorable hosts would have passed their night in a like manner without a suitable covering for themselves. Next morning, Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu anhu came to his guests and he said to them, listen carefully, in other words, he noticed that one, all of us have a dwelling to which we have to make a shift. I have already sent my bedding and quilts to that abode. Hence, if I had anything left with me now, I would have given it to you. So please do not be offended with my hospitality. And then he said, certainly, we all have a difficult path ahead of us. And a traveler with a light load is far better than one having a heavy load. Do you understand what I have told you? They all replied with one voice, yes. And they were weeping. So Abu Darda radiallahu anhu told him, he goes, look, I can't offer you that. But then he explained something to them. He goes, what I'm doing is, if you've understood, is I'm sending everything of worth into my true home. I'm sending it into the Akhirat. So an example of this, Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, in Imam Ghazali's Ihya, Abu Darda radiallahu anhu was once addressing his students. And this beggar came. When the beggar came, he asked for something for the name, he took the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu told one of his students, he goes, go, I've got a few camels, give him my very best camel. So the tabi'een took him, and when he looked at the camels, he noticed the best one, and he's about to give it to the beggar. But then suddenly, he goes, why should I give him the best one? Because he's a beggar. I'll give him the second best, that way he'll be happy, and my teacher will be happy. So he did that, he gave him the second best camel. And then, when he came back, he just sat down, and Abu Dharr didn't think nothing of it, radiallahu. But after he finished his talk, he said to the tabi'i, he said, did you do what I told you to do? So the tabi'i first was going to say yes, but then he thought, this is not true. So then he says, no teacher, I've done something better. So Abu Dharr, his face went red. He said, what do you mean you've done something better? What have you done better? He goes, I have given him a camel that he's pleased with, and you've kept your best camel. So Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu then says, I asked you to do such a simple thing and you couldn't even do this. He goes, I wanted to keep my best camel. So then all of the audience now is getting confused. They're thinking, but he's kept his best camel. So Abu Dharr then said, haven't you understood anything of the teachings? If you had given my best camel to the beggar, I would have kept it. But now it's not with me. So what Abu Dharr says, hey radiallahu anhu, is I've already sent my quilts to another abode. So look at their mentality, he gave his orchard, he goes, I've sent it. He said, this is where it's going to benefit me now. It's not benefiting me here. So from this report, you can see what his mindset was now. Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu anhu was an ascetic in all senses of the word, and shunned even the positions of authority, which most of the other blessed companions had reluctantly taken, appointed as amirs by the noble caliphs with the spread of Islam throughout the world. His noble wife once even questioned him in this regard. In Behaki, is an authentic hadith, a marufal hadith by Maulana Manzoor Noman Rahmatullahi, only one page 261 of the English translation. As the Umm Darda radiallahu anha, she once asked her illustrious husband, "What is the matter with you? Why do you not make a request for wealth and position? As such and such, what is the harm in this?" In other words, you've got the knowledge, you've got the understanding, you're working towards the akhirat. If you become an Amir, this will benefit not only them but also us. Abu Darda radiallahu anha then replied, "My dear wife radiallahu anha, I have heard the Messenger of Allah say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ahead of you lies a difficult valley, which the heavenly burden shall not be able to cross easily. Hence I want to stay light for crossing that valley." In other words, this is the reason I'm not asking for authority. Now what's interesting is, his concept of being light was getting rid of all the things, storing it into the akhirat. Our concept of light would be probably the opposite, Audhu Billah. Because I don't want to be heavily burdened by giving all these things away. And look at again what he said to Salman al-Farsi, radiallahu anhu, in Abu Nu'aym al-Hiyya. He wrote a letter to him. And Abu Darda said to radiallahu anhu, said to Salman al-Farsi, radiallahu anhu, "You have heard you've got a servant." And then he said, "If you have got a servant," he goes, "that is inevitable." And the inevitable he was talking about was, he goes, "Now you're going to be seriously taken into account." And then he said, "The property you have will come to you on the bridge of Sirat. If you have been an honest man, the property will say, you have no need to worry, you can pass safely. But if you have property that you haven't fulfilled the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with, the property will prevent you from crossing the bridge and you will fall." That's just one servant. Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, another ascetic amongst the companions radiallahu anhu, Abu Na'im al-Hiyya, he said, "Sufficient for me is a share over my head, a handful of livestock, and a righteous wife from the world." He goes, "This is enough for me." And then he thought about it. He goes, "Maybe even this is too much." So if you look at these examples, you realize that we're in a serious dilemma, because our understanding of asceticism means something completely different. But Allah the Almighty in His great mercy hasn't ordained this for us. However, the Prophet ﷺ did give a clear sign. In Abu Na'im al-Hiyya, Sahih Hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, "O Mu'adh radiallahu, avoid luxury, for the chosen servants of the Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala avoid luxury." So if you consider yourself a chosen servant, a person will deliberately not live a life like this. And you look at the Sahaba, and there are many things that we find strange, radiallahu. So again, just to finish this, hence during the blessed Khalifat of Abu Bakr and during the early phase of Umar radiallahu anhu as Khalifat, Abu Darda refused many posts. He would politely say, "Look, I'm not the man for the job, there's many other people more worthy for it." But Umar radiallahu anhu one day had enough of it. He called him and he pulled the classic card as he always did. He goes, "You all made me the Khalif. Didn't give a second thought. But when I ask you to become governors, you all come out with the excuses. You're not going to accept it." So what happened? In Kanzul Omar, volume 7, page 77, Ibn Asakir, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 2, page 94 of the English translation, the Khalif radiallahu anhu was intending to move to the blessed land of Syria. He wanted Abu Darda to go there, radiallahu anhu. It has been reported. Abu Darda radiallahu anhu sought permission from Umar radiallahu anhu to allow him to go to Syria. Now, there's a report about this. Abu Darda wanted to go to Syria to escape from Umar. So he told Amir al-Mu'mineen, "I'd like to go to Syria." So Umar radiallahu anhu said, "Never. I'm never going to allow you to go to Syria. Because I will allow you to go if you do one thing for me. He goes, anything, tell me. You can become the governor there." So Abu Darda then, a frown came upon his face. He's Amir al-Mu'mineen, "You know very well I do not want governorship." Hazrat Umar then said, "Well, in that case, you can never go to Syria. I'll never give you permission." Then Abu Darda was left thinking, and he realized that Umar radiallahu anhu, he was choosing the people for the job that were needed. He then said, "All right, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, I'll go. But now I've got a condition." So Hazrat Umar goes, "What's your condition?" He said, "I will only teach the Quran and Sunnah and lead the Salat of the people there. In other words, I don't want the full responsibilities. I'll teach them the most important thing, and I'll also need the prayer. But with regards to governorship, I think you better have given it to somebody else." Hazrat Umar radiallahu smiled, because of course, you can go, I give you permission. And there's another hadith that explains this. Some of the companions, there were five of them. Umar radiallahu anhu says, choose three amongst yourselves to go to the various posts. So five of them, they go, why do we need to choose? Because one of them is ill, and then she wrote an excuse for another sahab. So three of them went, and look how great the companions were, they didn't pass the book to somebody else. Because two of them, one of them was ill, another one, so in the wish you, you wish yourself. And Abu Darda was sent towards Syria. And there was a reason for this. Because in Syria, the people were immersed in luxury and soft living. The dunya had opened up. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, when he was the Khalif, he wept when the spoils of war came back to Al-Madinah. And Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu, he said, why do you weep Amir al-Mu'mineen? Because these are spoils of war. You know, what pure of wealth can there be than this? So Umar radiallahu anhu said, I can see the demise of the Ummah through this. Because once people get money, their focus goes on the dunya. And he goes, through this, I can see fitna and tribulations. So Umar had saw that, and then within a few days, few weeks, he said, Abu Darda to Syria. As if to say, we won't correct their misunderstanding. And that's the reason he was sent, radiallahu anhu. So is there any questions? So all we discussed there was Abu Darda radiallahu anhu going through his life slowly and methodologically and learning from his blessed life. And also, you realize that he was one of the ascetics of the companions. Another thing about the companions is that they never found fault with each other. Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu did not go to Abu Darda and say, well, what's happening here? I'm doing all the jihad and you're being an ascetic. Abu Darda never went to Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu. Well, he was, you don't even know most of the Quran. Well, he was the point of going on the battlefield. They praised each other, they helped each other. The Prophet ﷺ said in Tirmidhi, the believers to each other are like bricks that support each other. Instead of finding faults with each other, he goes, look, mashallah, you've got a beautiful quality. I wish I had that quality as well. But now the sad state is, you've got all sorts of mentalities, especially group mentalities. Sufis are taking things out on somebody, on the Tablighis. The Tablighis are saying, well, keep away from this group. So again, this is all, because all of you are teaching the deen, as long as you are following the scholars' guidelines. Any questions on that? What to ask? That's a very good question. Yes, the great Sufis were from Syria. But I think there's a hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said that Syria will always have the traces of the Prophethood. Inside this, the Prophet ﷺ descends in Damascus. Shows that it has to play a very prominent role. But good question, I never thought of that. Maybe it is due to the fact that the ascetic companions were sent there. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is best of this. Any other questions? سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر ان الانسان لفي خسر الا الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم